Hi Krishna, it's Dhanadhara Swami.
Hi Krishna.
Okay, I had a real difficult time getting on today, so sorry for being late. Everyone can hear me okay? Can people hear me?
I can.
What?
I can.
You can. I can't hear you. But someone else, they can hear me?
I can hear you, Maharaj. Hi, Bo.
Okay, hi, Bo. Okay, from my side, I'm not hearing, but if you can all hear me, I'll eagerly start the class. It's logistics here. My cell phone I don't know, I guess it's out of range or something. So I had some, so sorry to keep you waiting, and I'll just now have to find the spot we're at, and hopefully better late than never. While I'm trying to find it, it's so nice here, you know, I'm at the Sun Falls now, and to me, the ideal place is a place that's secluded, but it's somehow near the action. So I gave a class here, and, you know, about 20 people came, but very fine people who are interested. You know, I got to know them. Now when they come to the yoga studio, they're coming in to see me to ask questions. And really nice people who are very sincere about spiritual life. And I'm kind of finding the spot. It take me a minute here, and I'll just tell you where we're going to start today. Okay, almost got it here. Okay, one second. I just got to get a notebook and I'll be right with you. Okay, I can't find my notes, but there weren't much notes anyway. Let me just get set up here. Okay, reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 12, Text 188. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Advaita Nityananda Vasayachena Ekatani Duijane Krida Kalaha Lagila Tatai. Sri Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu sat side by side, and when prasadam was being distributed, they engaged in a type of mock fighting. Omigyana timarandasya gananjana salakaya chaksurumalitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Sun Falls. So I guess I just got back here on Monday from New York City, where we held Radhashtami at the Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple. The deities were in beautiful outfit, unique outfit of peacock feathers. So we told the story of Radharani and Krishna competing and dancing as peacocks. And of course we told the tattva and the leela of Srimati Radharani, that she has the full capacity to serve Krishna because she is the Purna Shakti, and Shakti is the energy or potency that one has to give them pleasure. And the ultimate... Anybody there?
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bo. Who's that?
Gail.
Who? Gail.
It cut out for a minute.
Did everyone drop off the phone conference?
Yeah, I had to call back.
Yeah, okay. You had to call back.
Okay, wow. This
it
is real...
Time.
This is real Rasika today. So much obstacles to our exchanges here. It's real Vrindavan. Okay, wow. Well, somehow Rati called me on my cell phone, which has no cell phone reception. Otherwise, but somehow I got it. Otherwise, I'd still be speaking. Okay, now I got some. So, okay, people are on now again?
Yes.
So I was speaking, you know, so Radha has this full capacity to please Krishna, and the pleasure is love. Just full capacity to love Krishna, and therefore she manifests everything that's necessary to please another. Qualities, beauty, dress. You can think of anything that you have that pleases another. Radharani has that to the perfected degree. And just therefore to hear about her and even hear about her beauty is to hear about the highest love. And by hearing about it, one also develops the highest love. So it was so pleasant to be there on Radhastami, completely exhausting for me because I've been traveling. But it was nice, and the devotees, Gopishore, helped organize such a nice prasadam, and Keshavacharya, nice kirtan, and the deities were beautiful, and wonderful. And now we're reading about Gaur-lila. And what is Gaur-lila? Gaur-lila is the mind of Sri Radha. We read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's searching for the pleasure of the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. So he embodies that mood. And by meditating on Chaitanya, on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one gets introduced to that mood in somewhat an accessible way through kirtan, which is the rasa lila. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the day, an advanced devotee, he's also the acharya. His story is also acharya lila. So through the day, he is always thinking about Krishna and in advanced practices of Krishna consciousness. One is always thinking of Krishna, how to serve Krishna, so he's thinking of Krishna's lila, and he's thinking of Krishna's pastimes that correspond with the time of the day. And, you know, in the Nishant lila from 3 to 6, Radharani and Krishna wake up in the grove, and they're worshipped by the Mangalartik is done by the Manjaris, with such love and devotion. Radharani is woken up by the sounds of the pika, and then they leave and they go back home. So Mangalartik is there. That's real Mangalartik. And so at that time, the devotee, he meditates on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is he doing at that time in the morning? And at that time in the morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meditating on Nishant Lila, on Radha and Krishna at that time of the day, with all the details. So in this way, the devotee who does not have direct access to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in a mood of genuine service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one comes in contact with the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is Shushro Shradhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. When you serve the devotees, you get Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. You get taste for the Katha of Krishna. Because that's what's in the heart of the devotee. When you serve someone, you become close to them, you watch them, you become intimate with them, you hear them, you see their mood. And if you do that relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you get their mood. And this is actually the practice of the bhakti, association with advanced devotee. You begin to pick up their heart. And you begin to aspire for that, which is such a wonderful thing. Because that heart is pure love and pure devotion. See, we finished the Bhakti Sandarbha, but we're actually entering into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here we see him with his devotees, they're relishing prasad. We saw the transformation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he's enjoying this feast. It's not just vairagya. This is the difference between the process of bhakti and the process of gyan. In gyan, it is renunciation, and bhakti, it is dedication. So when you're on the line of dedication externally, you may not have to renounce. It's a different type of renunciation. It's not a renunciation of the objects. It's a renunciation of the conception of possessiveness. And therefore, you can come in contact with the objects in the mood of service to Krishna. And therefore, you can taste very wonderful things in the service of Krishna. So here was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was on the platform of man. And now he's enjoying life. So from an external viewpoint, it's a completely different thing. He doesn't look like he's as advanced as he was before. Because from the external viewpoint, from the platform of Gyan, feasting and chanting and dancing is not spiritual activity. It's not spiritual activity. So they're getting some. So Gopinathacharya, his brother-in-law, is feeding him and saying, "Look how you're enjoying." And then he begins to lament. Begins to lament what he was before and what he was what he is now. He said, "I was like a crow, and now I am like Garuda. I'm so transformed. I was so dry. I was chanting the dryness, the desert of Sanskrit grammar, and now I have the Harinam Amrita Vyakaran. I have the nectar of the grammar of Krishna's names. I have the nectar of Krishna's names." And now I was in the association of dry logicians, and now I'm in the association of the wonderful devotees. So this whole prasadam pastime is going on, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking so much pleasure in. Bhunte bhojyate chaiva. Look how wonderful our process of Krishna consciousness is. Tadati pritagrinahi. Guyam ayachi pichati bhute bhojyate chaiva. Developing devotion by giving prasadam and accepting prasadam. It was so nice, the people that came into my room today to see me, both before and after. Such a wonderful facility to preach, where people are coming to your own home. And they're so grateful and thankful, and the yearning and search that people have is just amazing when you actually see what people are looking for. And such nice questions. These people were here, and this lady owns a called Bodhi Spa. It's a three-story health spa in one city near here. And I was explaining to them, you know, because they were talking by the door. I said, "Come sit down." I said, "If you're not in a rush." He said, "No, you know, we'll take dinner afterwards. I said, well, I have some prasad for my deity. So I took some prasad. And I explained this verse. People are so appreciative. Just a nice spiritual process that we are seeing here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhunte bhojyate chaiva. We should always be thinking of how to give a gift to a Vaishnav. Or how to inquire from them. This is how you develop loving relationships. Inquire from a Vaishnav. Or if they have some need for an ear, lend them an ear. And offer prasad and give prasad. It's such a wonderful... And so we're seeing this, and we're seeing the transformation. It's always there within the CC. Advaitacharya, Nityananda, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya having water fights and splashing and you know, the transformation. I remember one time, I don't know if this is connected, but in 1976, I was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada came 3 or 4 times to Vrindavan to leave, and then he wasn't leaving, and then he went out, and then he came back. And he was calling the devotees from around the world. And I think some of them, from a managerial perspective, thought, oh, you know, we're leaving our preaching fields, not understanding that the most important aspect in spreading Krishna consciousness is a depth of heart and intimacy of devotion for the spiritual master, a depth of devotion for Srila Prabhupada, and indebtedness. And therefore, Prabhupada, with his spiritual vision, and we see it, it's not the amount of time you spend out in the field. In fact, if you're not pure, the more time you spend out in the field, the more you can mess things up. But it's the purity of heart and the surrender and the real bhakti means to change that consciousness, to just think in terms of service and not oneself. No longer put oneself in the egoistic center, but be in the mood of serving Krishna and the devotees. So Prabhupada was trying to cultivate that. He thought, I don't have so much time, that people were coming. So I remember it was the middle of the summer, and you know, the summer is, wow, 140 degrees, there wasn't a Fahrenheit, there wasn't air conditioning. In the morning, we go to the Jamuna for kirtan with the Gurukula, and some of the senior devotees would join us. And that is real pleasure. The Jamuna used to flow very, very rapidly. It's like a little stream now, but it was flowing. You could dive off the cliffs. And in the middle of the summer, you know how pleasant it is in the morning to bathe in the summer. And I remember that Vridayananda Maharaj would come down, and he was very, very enthusiastic. And somehow at that time, he was very close with Satsarup Maharaj, and he convinced Satsarup Maharaj also to come down. And then we had this game called chicken fights in the water between different Gurukula, and Satsarup Maharaj put some young man on his head, shoulders, and someone. And it was uncharacteristic of him. I remember coming out of the water, saying, oh, I don't usually do this. So Advaitacharya and Nityananda are side by side. And they engage in this type of mock fighting. But you have to understand, what is Gaur-lila? It's Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the character of the life force in immortality. And the character of the life force in immortality is not renunciation. It's love and devotion. And love and devotion is exchanged between God and his devotees, and between the devotees of God and themselves. And in friendship, there is joking. And therefore, in Gaur-lila, even among these acharyas, see Advaita Acharya, there is joking. And they're enjoying the loving relationship, but they're enjoying the loving relationship between devotees of God. And when you're trying to love a devotee, you're trying to love God, because the devotee's in relationship to God. So it's very, very sweet. Advaita kohe avadut para shonge eka pongti bojana karilu na jani hobe kongoti. First, Advaitacharya said, I am sitting in line with an unknown mendicant, and because I am eating with him, I do not know what kind of destination is awaiting me. So, spiritual life means sattva. And sattva is a strand of subtle, it's a strand of matter. All matter is composed of the three gunas in different combinations. And they affect the influence of matter in different ways. So if the subtle mind comes to the platform of goodness, the quality is lucidity. You begin to see everything clearly. And for spiritual life, you have to see God, you have to see yourself, you have to see a relationship. And you have to see the relationship between things in this world. So sattva is absolutely essential to come to the platform of goodness. And therefore, one who is cultivating brahminical life and trying to come to the platform of goodness so that one can transcend, he is very, very particular of his external association. Because externally, matter is in the modes. And therefore, when you associate with the form of goodness, then the modes which are competing within you, the mode of goodness will gain strength, become prominent. So a serious person in spiritual life is concerned with his environment and tries to keep it in goodness. But the people he associates with, the food he eats, the time of the days where he spends most of his time, which means the morning time rather than the time of the day, the places, the people. So here at Vaitacharya, naturally he's concerned because he's a charger, spirit. He doesn't know. He's saying, I don't know. He's joking, but the point is there. He doesn't know who he's sitting next to. And the influence will be there, and especially eating. Very, very important in terms of the consciousness. See, he's saying that in mock, because Nityananda is avadut, an unknown mendicant. Avadut means socially unknown. That's what avadut means. Prabhuta sanyasi unhara nahi apachaya anadoshe sanyasira dosha nahi hoy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order of life. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj explaining. Consequently, he does not recognize discrepancies. As a matter of fact, the sannyasi is not affected by eating food from anywhere and everywhere. So, of course, I have to make the statement that Prabhupada said to the sannyasis today, we cannot be like the sannyasis in days of yore, but at least we should be careful about our social interactions. We can't perform the austerities that they perform. But Lord Chaitanya, in that day, the renounced order, they're transcendental. Practically, when you took sannyas, you're transcendental. But he's saying, so he just said he may not be affected, but nana doshena maskari a shastra paman ami tagrihasta brahmana amara doshastan. According to the shastra, there's no discrepancy in a sannyasi eating at another's house, but for a household brahman, this kind of eating is faulty. Very, very, and we know the stories. A Brahmin can even lose his caste from eating from the wrong place. It's such a question of purity. In the Madhva line of the mud from Madhvacharya, there are 8 acharyas at any one time, and they rotate. So every 16 years, every 2 years, a different acharya gets the worship of their deity, and he has to do all the worship. And in that line for their sannyasis, they're extremely strict of their association and what they do. Therefore, even when the page of a Swami, who is the most prominent of the 8 Madhvacharyas, kindly came for Prabhupada's centennial, he didn't live in the conch building. He lived out in Bhakti Vidyapurna's Gurukul in one of the mud huts. And they have to bathe in a river. That's a higher standard of cleanliness, actually, to bathe in a river. So he has to bathe in a river, and he can only eat, and you know, cooking off of certain things. It's very, very strict how they live. And that's their acharyas. So it's an effect. And therefore, when one of their acharyas went to the West, there was a huge, and then his time came up for worshiping the deity, there was a big uproar and protest. It only almost went to the courts, and they had to make a compromise that acharya went to the West, because they felt if he's in a plane and he crosses the ocean, you couldn't maintain that level of purity that their acharyas do in their particular thing. So they made a compromise that he could take over the temple, but he couldn't do the worships that touch the pujas that worship the deities. So in that type of Brahminical culture, it was so much into cultivating goodness that it was very, very strict who you ate with. And so therefore, although Nityananda, of course, Advaitacharya is joking, but the point he makes was valid for that culture, that you have to be very careful. It is not proper for a sannyasi to dine with those whose previous birth, character, and behavior are known. Now you understand how transcendental Srila Prabhupada was. To actually come and live in the same room, can you imagine Prabhupada was living with that David or something who was taking LSD? And what to speak of associating with all these people who come into Krishna consciousness, but having so many powerful samskaras for sinful life. And how much faith Prabhupada had in the holy name and the process of bhakti. But also what risk he took. I told you that before, that in speaking with my friend Advaita, Professor Bryant, and he was making the comment that you know, some of these people who came, these yogis who came from India, they were very, very accomplished, and they can perform great mystical feats. But then they came to the West, and in the association, especially the familiarity with the opposite sex that's not there in India, there some scars which were burnt or inactive became energized. And they had difficulties. And therefore, Prabhupada compares the bhakti process to people who were just renunciates. Because he gives the example of Vishvamrita Muni, who was meditating for 60,000 years. It's in a place called Pushkar, and I went to that place. It's where the only Brahma temple in India is situated. There's many Shiva temples, there's many Vishnu temples, but Durga temples, but there's only one temple of Lord Brahma, and there's a reason for that. I won't go into it now. But he was performing his meditation. And he was at the stage of pratyahara, which means he was keeping the images of the senses from impacting the images, the sensual impressions from impacting the mind. He was at a very high state of yoga. But then the ankle bell of Menaka came, the society girl that was sent by Indra, who was envious of his austerities, sent to seduce him. And he heard that bell. And even though he had externally shut off the senses, the samskaras from previous impressions and previous lives became activated, and he was allured and fell from his meditation. The Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur, who the prostitute came to allure him with poses that could even disturb the greatest philosopher, tried to seduce him, but couldn't. And that's because in the process of Krishna consciousness, there's pleasure and bliss in the dedication to Krishna. It's not just the pleasure of goodness, which you come to a peaceful platform by renouncing the senses, but it's the pleasure of anand, or pleasure of loving reciprocation to Krishna. Anyway, people were careful, and we also should be careful. The environment affects consciousness. That's the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And we should be careful about our environment when we can practically do so. We should keep a sattvic and clean environment. We should be careful with our association, because understand that the external will affect the strands of matter and the internal. And the more you're out of goodness, the more you will lose discipline and self-control. And if you associate with passion, and the passion gets nourished by your life and activities, of course, this doesn't mean that you can just leave for the forest. We are in a world that is in the form of passion and ignorance. But if one approaches things in the mood of devotion and service, if one is mindful and actually develops the mood of service to Krishna, then the modes won't impact them to that extent. But still, one can organize his environment. So he says, not proper for a household. Because if you die with whose previous verb, family, character are known, then you may be associating with the mode of ignorance, and that's going to nourish the ignorance in you and bring you from the platform where you can transcend. Nityananda kohe tume advaita acharya advaita siddhante vadeshuda bhakti kaya. Nityananda immediately refuted Advaita Acharya, saying, well, you're talking about me, basically, he's saying, about my association. Well, you are a teacher of impersonal monism, and the monistic conclusion is a great hindrance to progressive, pure devotional service. So there also is Brahmagyan, sometimes discussed in Krishna consciousness, just like we discussed Dehano Smin, as the embodied soul moves from childhood to boy to youth, so suddenly at the time of death, one will. So that's not talking about Krishna. That's talking about detachment. That's talking about vairagya. That's the process of jnana. So we also use the process of jnana. And we also profess a certain Advaita Gyan, Advayam Gyan, a certain non-dual reality. So Nityananda now is going to refute Advaita Acharya in this mocking thing, and this mock fighting, and he's going to bring out some points to clarify what actual non-dual consciousness means. It's going to come out very, very beautifully in the purport. But he's bringing this out. For bhakti, great hindrance for bhada shuddha bhakti karya. It is bhade. It's greatly hindered shuddha bhakti, this impersonalism. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma jnavrita. That the primary characteristic, secondary characteristic of pure devotional service, it's free from the contamination of jnana and karma. And jnana means impersonalism, basically. It's free from that type of, or it's impersonalism in the sense that the motivation for Dhyan is to free oneself from this world. And therefore, one becomes adverse. One develops an aversion, vairagya, to the forms and shapes of this world. But when you develop an aversion to the forms and shapes of this world, it creates a prejudice against bhakti, which deals with forms and shapes, but deals with spiritual forms and shapes. So one on the path of Jnana can develop an aversion to form and sensual experience in such a way that it will prejudice the service of Krishna, which deals with forms and sensual experience, but in a consciousness of dedication to Krishna. So Nityananda in the Smart Mock Fighting wants to bring this up, that be careful about the prejudice of Jnan. And then he says, very interesting, Tomara Siddhanta Shunga Kodi Ye Jane. Eka Vastu Vina She Dvitya Nahiman. One who participates in your impersonalist monistic philosophy does not accept anything but the one Brahman. So this is very interesting. Something happened and I lost some of the things. So he says, actually, this discussion between Advaita, so these stories and these discussions, they're rasa. We're seeing how devotees exchange love. Obviously, this is such affection. He calls him a monist. He calls him an abhidhu. And actually, they're all compliments. Because Nityananda is an unknown mundakint. He is abhidhu. He has nothing to do with this world, and therefore he cannot be categorized socially. He's beyond that. And Advaita also is Advaita. Advaita is also non-dual. But it's also non-dual in the sense that he sees that there's nothing but Krishna. That's non-dual for us. When I gave my lecture I spoke this weekend in Boston, and I personally, it was the most rewarding outreach lecture I ever gave by far, by the quality of people in the audience and by the response of those people to the lecture and the satisfaction I got from serving the mission of Prabhupada by trying to bring Krishna consciousness to the intelligent class of men in America as he wanted. And I'm getting letters from that, from people. Actually, just for fun, I'll just show you the letters I got today from that. But it's a philosophical point that will come up. So this lady, one lady wrote me, and I, that's the second letter she wrote. I got to find the first one. Interesting. Anyway, I'll read the second letter she wrote me after I wrote her. She said, it's nice, so nice to hear from you. I'd love to hear your feedback to my book. I have to admit that I read some Hindu texts, but since my work was the focus of spiritual transformation of the founders of the other major religions, I had to use Hinduism only as support. You said it yourself, Hinduism refers to religion as internal nature of the soul. I like that. That's exactly the same conclusion I got. She's writing an interesting book, but the point is, they want a certain, this lady actually came from Israel, where people are killing themselves over religion, and therefore she rejected the external forms of religion and found some relief of finding the essence of religion. And then she studied the major founders of different religions and found a universal connection in them. But the point I want to make to her is that universal connection in them does not mean that there's not some objective reality. In other words, I feel that way too, that let's get rid of the external form. Let's stop giving credence or priority to the external form of any religion. Let's get to the essence. But what's the essence? The essence of religion is love of God. The essence of religion is love of God. So there's a universality in religion. But the universality in religion is in relationship to a God and our service to God. Universality in religion isn't that there's just no God, anybody believes what they want. So there is a non-duality, but it's going to be explained really nice in the purport. Prabhupada quotes this verse, Vedanta tattvidas tattva yajnanam advayam. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. So there's actually one absolute reality. There's not a Brahman absolute reality, a Paramatma absolute reality, or a Bhagavan absolute reality. There's one absolute reality. But that one absolute reality has distinction. Even if you say Brahman, it's no longer non-dual because it has a name. Non-dual means without any distinction. So as soon as you say Brahman, you're giving it distinction and something's not Brahman. So actually non-dualism, you can't even talk about non-dualism because as soon as you call it something, you've given it some type of quality. So when Advaita is, when Nityananda is criticizing him for being a monist, he really wants to bring out what non-dual actually means. So the purport says, Advaita Acharya was given the title of Acharya because he spread the bhakti cult, not the philosophy of monism. The true conclusion of Advaita Siddhanta expressed at the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is not the same as the philosophy of the monist. Here, Advaita Siddhanta means Advayam Gyan, or oneness in variety. Now, there's something that's said here. I want to bring it out if I can find it in the purport. I don't know why it wasn't. I had underlined it. This is very interesting. The conclusion is that although the powerful and the power are one and the same, within the energy of the powerful, there are varieties. In those varieties, there's a distinction between the different parts of one's personal self, between types of the same category, and between types of different categories. So this is Jiva Goswami. He says, Advayam Gyan, or non-dual consciousness, means that there's one absolute reality. And everything is composed of that absolute reality. And there's three types of non-dualism. First of all, that absolute reality is not different from itself. What does that mean? Angani yasya sakamendi avritti manti pasyanti panti kalyanti. It's not different from itself, which means God can impregnate with his eyes. He can eat by his hearing. It's all absolute. So he's not different from himself, as Prabhupada says in the purport. He's and there's non-difference between types of the same category. For example, Vishnu Tattva. There's Vishnu, there's Krishna, there's different. It's the same category. It's Vishnu Tattva. And there's different incarnations. There's different manifestations of Krishna. But it's also non-different between Krishna and the different incarnations. And then it says, and there's non-difference between different categories. For example, there's the material energy, which is separated energy, which is different from the spiritual energy, but at the same time, it's non-dual, because it's composed of the same spiritual substance. It's just like electricity. In the refrigerator, you know, you can have electricity causing freezing cold. The same electricity can cause heat. So it's the same. It's electricity. But it has, it's the same substance, but it has different manifestations. So this is Vaishnavism. This, so when it, Advaita Acharya, when he's the Acharya Advaita of non-dual, it means that he can see God everywhere. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, when Hiranyakashipu challenged him, is God in this pillar? Is God in this pillar? And he said, yes. And when he, when Hiranyakashipu, out of anger, struck the pillar, then the Shrinidheva came. So everything is God. God can manifest anywhere. There's nothing outside of that supreme absolute consciousness. We're also part of God. That's a deep realization. We are part of that supreme absolute reality. We are godlike. We're the same substance. We're of that supreme absolute reality. It's our honor. So he finally says, very nice. One who is in full Krishna consciousness does not distinguish between things material and spiritual. So it's non-dual. But he takes everything to be related to Krishna and therefore spiritual. So everything, there's so many varieties, everything is related to Krishna. It's just like there's a prison house and there's a university. From the standpoint of the citizens, there is duality. But from the standpoint of the government, there is non-duality. It's just another government department. It's part of the government. By Advayam Gyan, Advaita Acharya has glorified pure devotional service. By Advaita Gyan Darshan, he's glorified pure devotional service because he sees God everywhere. Therefore, it's non-dual. Srila Nityananda Prabhu herein sarcastically condemns the philosophy of the impersonal monist and praises the correct non-dual philosophy of Sri Advaita Prabhu. So even in their joking, there's so much meaning. There's so much meaning. I will stop for now. Would anyone like to ask a question? Well, while someone's thinking of a question, can someone say Hare Krishna so I'll know that it hadn't dropped and I was actually speaking to people?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Nityananda from Govardhan.
Nityananda from Govardhan, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful
question. Hey, Nityananda, so nice to hear from you. And just to hear Govardhan, to know I'm connected to that Govardhan energy here, I'm in ecstasy. That's good. I will see you at the end of the month. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Hare Go.
Thank you.
Great. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Rasikya calling.
Rasikya, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. That was so nice to hear about your preaching in Boston.
It was so, I can send you some pictures. It was just so...
I'd like to hear your talk. I'd like to hear your talk.
Well, can I tell you something? Rati Krishna, who runs the Sanghas, he lives in Boston, right?
Uh-huh.
And what he did was, is he came and videoed it.
Uh-huh.
So I can send you a link for the video.
That would be great.
And you can see the whole thing. We didn't somehow get the audience, but you'll get a an idea of how I do it with the astrological charts. It was amazing.
Yeah.
One of the people, you know, I said, "You're very good at communication." They said, "Oh, I'm a writer, you know. So here, I just got a letter today. Very, very nice lady, and her chart was just completely balanced person, right? So she wrote me, "Thank you again for your time and wisdom on Static in Arlington. You set my mind and something much deeper within me on a moving path of questions and hopefully some answers and awareness. It has been years since I journaled or read as much as I have in the past 2 days since hearing you speak. I'm seeking something, and I feel like every corner of my soul is piled with things I need to explore, accept, and bring out into the light."
Wow.
She said, "I mentioned to you that I seem to have the gift of an intuition. I will not address or follow that up in email. There seems to be other things more pressing than all things at the moment is the impending class I must teach, so I will cut my email short."
Yeah, it would be really, really helpful to be able to hear some of the lectures that you give in those kind of areas to help me understand how to approach that sometimes.
Well, I definitely will send you this lecture, and it's pretty good quality. So
because it's really important to be able to present it, and you know, in such a way that is understandable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when Carl put in his poem that he wrote in Boston, he said, "Please make my words understandable for my audience."
Wow, yeah.
You know, and
somehow he
was. That's like what it's like when you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And to be able to hear like that, that's great.
Well, you know, one thing, as you know, because you've been dealing with this for a while, the people in the yoga already have an advanced frame of reference.
That's true.
But I'll tell you another thing that was really nice, that the lady who organized this for me, it was two ladies that came to my Panihati.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to share Krishna consciousness, you know, and do some outreach. So what they went on this website called meetup.com.
Uh-huh.
And they started a club called Boston Brahmins.
You're kidding.
And they have 30 members. They're the only two devotees on the club. They have 30 members, and they meet every 2 weeks to discuss Indian thought. So they're the ones that sponsored this, and they were able to rent the hall. You know, they got the hall somehow, and the people in the hall. And I got such good questions. I mean, it's just another lady there who is, she doesn't own the place, but she somehow was supervising when we came. It was just really rewarding for me. I'm going now to Washington. I don't usually do this so much, but I'm going to Washington tomorrow, where one Sangha member, Hari Kirtan, set up some nice program for me. But I think this psychology of karma, you know, and the astrological charts draws them in, and then,
yeah,
you know, once they get in, then I can do other lectures there. Anyway, I'll send it to you. And I'd like
you
to actually come to Austin.
I know, we'd like you to come to Austin.
I'm going back to India, but when I come back in the spring,
uh-huh,
I'd like to do that presentation there, and it, you know, because you're connected with yoga people, and when you send it out, people generally get very excited because, you know, astrology and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is that?
Miss Savitri speaking. Savitri.
Savitri?
Yes.
Can you just do me one favor? You have the CC before you?
Right now, no.
You have. I want to hear the verses from a Bengali. please. One version of Bengali. I'm requesting.
Okay, hold on. Just a minute.
What's that?
I'm reading for you. I have the children to the middle. Are you just telling me to read some?
Unfortunately, my reception is so bad.
Yeah, actually today the telephone is not so good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Okay, but if you're on the next time, I'd like to hear from the person who's been talking. I hate the real person.
Okay.
I'm just happy to see you. Thank you for coming on, Sri.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Karunika from New Zealand.
Hello, Karunika. Oh, Radhastami. Very nice. We, Giriraj got to wear your outfit, the outfit you sent also on Radhastami. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Govardhan.
Oh, Govardhan. Hello. We got a call from Govardhan. Govardhan town and Govardhan person. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? One other nice thing, too. Just before I gave the class, I saw Gauravani and Rasacharya. I guess Sati Sutta flew them up to discuss ways that he may be able to, because he has a record company, may be able to help promote them in their kirtan. So he flew them up today. So it's nice to see such nice Vaishnavas there too. Okay, so I will end for today. Thank you all. Vanchakalpa Kurubhya Chakapasindhubhya Bhachapati Tanam Pavanubhya Vaishnavas.